In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the Sunday of All Saints. It always follows Pentecost. And that makes a lot of sense because we can become saints because of the Holy Spirit. Because of all of it, of course. But the Holy Spirit was kind of that final piece, that final preparation so that we would be able to become holy. All of it's important. The teachings of Jesus Christ and baptism and being in the church and struggling and fasting, all of it's important. But without the Holy Spirit, we don't have the power to do it. So we sort of have a synaxis, a gathering of all the saints because Pentecost makes it possible for there to be saints. That's why we have All Saints Sunday today. And tomorrow we begin fasting. That makes sense too. You can't be a saint without struggle. It's not possible. And you could be a saint without being strong. The scriptures talks about that today. You could be a saint without being all that smart. You could be a saint if you have weaknesses and even sins. But you can't be a saint if you don't struggle. You can't be a saint if you don't have patience or courage or prayer or repentance. I thought of these four things especially today because in our day right now, we are going to be tested like none of us have ever been tested before. It's just going to happen. People can turn me off perhaps. I hope you don't. Some of you don't because you talk to me about it. We are coming to a great testing, to a winnowing out, to a separating of the sheep from the goats. Which do you want to be, a sheep or a goat? You might think you're a sheep, but you have to have something within you to remain. And that something is the Holy Spirit and your collaboration with the Holy Spirit. So we must have patience. It's going to take a lot of patience in the coming days, perhaps even in this year. There are those who think that this year, the end of this year, will be terrible, will be a civilization-changing event. I happen to believe that to be the case also. But regardless of whether or not terrible things happen to our world all over, already terrible things are happening. Because your average person who walks into church even, much less anybody that is not religious, or they call them nuns, they don't have any religious preference, or they're spiritual. When somebody says they're spiritual, I know what I'm going to get. All that sort of stuff is happening. Hardly anybody has any belief. Very few people really know what they're here for and have a real direction and a real purpose and therefore struggle for what is right. We have this mass sort of opiate that just is in the air of our society that makes people sleepy and dreamy. And want things, but not want to struggle for them. And so things are given to them, and then they want more. This is not the way to become a saint. The way to become a saint is what the scriptures say today, and all of the scriptures, of course. And in fact, you should want to be a saint. In fact, if you don't want to be a saint, you can't be saved. Saint means holy one. And you might say, I'm a terrible person. I do this and I do that and I have this weakness and et cetera, et cetera. And I've ruined relationships and I've done terrible things. All right, all of it. Own all of it and say you've did it all. You've done everything. But God implanted his image in you. He made you in his image. And his image is an image of holiness and perfection and beauty and peace and tranquility. Not tranquility like, you know, you'd see it in some sort of strange movie or something, but tranquility in that there would be no passion and no anger and no murkiness in our hearts. We're born to have perfect hearts, and we're achieving that in this life by the help of the Holy Spirit and because, of course, baptism, and then the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and then we struggle. We get up, we get down, we fall, we get back up. Happens all the time. It happens daily. It happens maybe 100 times in a day. But if you don't want to be a saint, if you don't actually think that you can be holy, then you won't. And salvation is to become holy. So there is no in-between. Now, I'm not saying that you can become holy all in this life. There are a few people who did that. But mostly, we just plunk along. We struggle. We have troubles. We maybe have long-standing habits. Maybe that they came upon us as a child, and we maybe never completely get rid of them, but if we are struggling, really being, having compunction in our heart, then indeed, what is unfinished in this life, God will finish in a flash with the when the trump sounds. So we should want to be saints, absolutely, positively. Now, I've told you before that when I read the scriptures, stuff just kind of jumps out at me. And these two scriptures are so wonderful, from Hebrews. So when I was a Protestant for a short time, a very short time of my life, it was called the Hall of Faith. And I think it really is. And also this gospel where the Lord speaks about taking up the cross. It's actually a composite gospel. There's a portion of it that the end of it is actually skips quite a few chapters. So I want to just tell you that some of the things that jumped out at me and in context with what's going on now and what's going to go on now. Even if there's not going to be an incredible medical disaster in the world, which will also be the beginning of all the other disasters, the wars and the rumors of wars and the despair and the mass suicide and the lawlessness and all that, and the repression, all of that, if indeed we have this medical disaster that many are saying will happen. And if it doesn't happen, then perhaps God will stay his hand. Maybe he'll give us some time if we pray. But regardless, truly the world is in a disaster now with so much unbelief and so many people without any understanding of anything. And people not knowing even how to be human. Most people don't even know how to be human. So there is a disaster happening now. It's going to continue to happen. And maybe there'll be other disasters. But you must be ready. And you can't be ready by, you know, stocking up food or having firearms or something like that. You can be ready by living a life for God in your heart. This is what the saints did. So the first thing that comes to mind for me, I'll just do it in chronological order, as it were, or the order in which I read them, you know, from first the epistle, then the gospel. Out of weakness, they were made strong, St. Paul says, regarding all of these saints. Out of weakness, they were made strong. So that's why I said you don't have to be strong to be a saint. Out of weakness, they were made strong. It's not your strength anyway that saves you. It's God's strength. You should remember that. There's going to be a lot of weak times. It's going to be a lot of difficult times coming up. And you'll feel weak. But out of weakness, you are made strong. Don't forget that. If you remember that, if that is just sort of burned into your heart so that it's always known to you, you'll get through many hard things. You'll get through every hard thing if you remember that it's not your strength, it's God's strength. Out of weakness, they were made strong. So Paul goes and says all of these incredible things that happened. They were sawn asunder, and they were mocked, and they were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, of whom the world was not worthy. Some were tortured, and they would not recant because they were looking for a better deliverance, a better resurrection. He describes all these people, and you can read about them. Not only in the scriptures, but in the lives of the saints. And you can watch more of them being created in the coming days. And what does he say about these people? What's the conclusion if you know that there's a cloud of witnesses? What conclusion should we make? He says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed round about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is before us." Now, when he said cloud of witnesses, I obviously thought of clouds. So there is a cloud of witnesses. There's so many saints named, and that we don't know the names, but God knows the names, that are interceding for us right now and are present right now as we are in the kingdom of heaven celebrating the divine liturgy. But there's also another cloud. There's a dark cloud. Dark clouds can be light and they can be dark. And what is that dark cloud?
That dark cloud is the apostasy that is occurring in the world. The cynicism in the world. The hatred in the world. All of these buzzwords, the newest thing, there'll be another one next month, that people hold on to as if it's gospel truth. And it's always with judgment and with hatred. Things like CRT, you know what that is? CRT is just evil because it's anger. It's anger for a ulterior purpose. BLM, right? Feminism was hijacked completely for evil purposes. Some of the ideas were good. They were very good. But then the whole idea was hijacked by sexual perversity and anger and also political activism. And of course, killing babies. You got to kill babies. The whole society rests on killing babies. And I'm sorry to say it so crudely, but it's absolutely true. Any modern Western society is it's a sacred cow. It can't be removed. So the idea that we can remove abortion from law, I think is unrealistic. Something's wrong with people's hearts that they would accept such an evil and vile thing, just like the Jews would throw their babies into the fire for Baal. That's what we're doing. We're throwing our babies as a society into the fire for convenience or for economic reasons or just because of whatever other reasons. Now, I'm not saying that an individual person who has an abortion cannot be redeemed. Absolutely. That's absolutely possible. In fact, very probable. All a person has to do is recognize that they sinned. God receives them. But as a society, we don't. As a society, we don't repent regarding things like this, sexual perversity and abortion and all the other terrible things and all these new political movements that are based on hate and judgment and have some sort of ulterior motive behind them, Marxism, etc., all of that stuff. And all of it wants to stamp out real belief. Now, you can remain a Christian until the end of your days, no matter how terrible it gets here, as long as you're a worldly Christian. Christianity as a religion will exist till the end of time, openly. I'm not talking about true Christians. I'm talking about just people that say they're Christians, people that, you know, like politicians that, you know, go to church once in a while and bring a Bible with them, or that say that they're pious and practicing, I don't want to make a political comment, but they say they're practicing their religion, and yet everything they do is contrary, or many things they do are completely contrary to the religion. That's perfectly okay. And that's easy. You can do that, and you'll get along, but your soul will die. You'll already be dead before you die if you live in that way. We have to live as the saints did, out of weakness being made strong, running the race with patience. And I thought about, what does this word patience mean? There's two kinds of patience. You might possess both, but you better possess the latter. The first one is, some people are just blessed that when they get out in traffic, it doesn't bother them that there's a lot of traffic. Doesn't bother them that there's a lot of construction or that people cut them off. Doesn't bother them that it's really hot outside and they're uncomfortable. Doesn't bother them when somebody in a store is causing an uproar and they're in a lane where for some reason they're waiting for 15 minutes to be checked out. They're patient people. They don't get irritated easily. And if you're one of those people, you're very blessed. Most people are not like that. They get upset about traffic and about inconveniences and such. And that is a sin. But the real sin of being impatient is when we become cynical because of life, when we don't believe in God. We basically become atheists. Our society is full of atheists, including people who walk through church doors, including Orthodox church doors. They're basically atheists because they live according to the ways of the world, because they're not patient, because they want gratification now, or because they've gotten jaded because of the way things are. Well, the things are terrible, but we shouldn't be jaded because of it. We should instead immerse ourselves more in prayer. I would say anybody who's really cynical about the world, that's a person who doesn't pray or doesn't pray with any depth, any blood That's why I keep telling you to do prostrations, because you have to pray with blood. And then God will console you and help you. So the patience that, the apostle's talking about here, it's not just a characteristic, right? It's not just a personality thing. It's about believing in God, believing that God's providence is in all things, and struggling to the end, even when things look very dark. I'm telling you, they're going to get dark. Maybe you don't believe me. You'll believe me soon enough. And you had best be ready when things are very, very dark and very difficult, and you have very hard decisions to make. Maybe decisions that will entail whether or not you can stay in your home or keep your job, or if your children are going to be hungry the following day. Those kinds of decisions are coming. We must be ready for them by being patient, by not abandoning the Christian way because it is difficult. God will help us. Out of weakness, we are made strong. So let's go to the gospel and the very beginning of the gospel. The Lord says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven." So I saw this word confession just sort of jump out like it was lit. What is confessing? What is confessing Jesus Christ before men? What is that? We can think that it's like where we say, "I'm a Christian, I believe in God. You know, I would never do this, I would never do that. I'm against this and I'm for that." And that's definitely confession. But to really confess in Christ before men is to live as Christ lives before men. To live as an eternal person. It's a person who knows that this is not the end-all be-all. This is not eternal. This is not even good. The world is not, most of the world's not good anymore. There's goodness in the world for sure. But there's so many terrible things that we must avoid. We must not be affected by. So confession in Christ before men means that you are a person of prayer, that you're a person of patience, a person of courage. Oh, it's going to take a lot of courage. But in weakness, you're made strong. That's the confession before Christ, or before men, excuse me. The confession in Christ is to live as a Christian. So if any of you are not praying, oh boy, you're in trouble. You're in a lot of trouble. If your prayer life is extremely sporadic, you should be fearful about that. I'm sorry, I can't pretend. I don't want to just sort of mollify you and say it'll be okay if you don't pray. It won't. It won't. But you can learn to pray. Maybe you prayed terribly yesterday. Maybe you haven't prayed for 3 days in a row. Well, you can pray today. You can pray tomorrow. You can pray 5 minutes tomorrow morning. Maybe you'll pray 10 eventually. Maybe you'll pray more. Maybe you'll start doing prostrations, since I talk about them so often. And eventually somebody's going to say, "Wow, all he ever talks about is prostrations. I guess I better start doing prostrations." And then you'll discover there's power in these prostrations. There's a certain, something happens to the soul. And then you start to have this hope in your heart. Still a bad person. You still do bad things. You still have habits and stuff that isn't right. But there's a certain hope because God is starting to move in your heart, because you're allowing him to. So you've got to develop strong prayer. Strong prayer for yourself, for your loved ones, for the world. We're changing things in the church schedule just slightly. We're adding. There is not a day that we won't have a church service now. We're going to have a church. We're going to have a service also Monday evenings. And so every single day of the week, either in the morning or in the evening or both, we will always have a service. There's four liturgies total at least in a week, and then evening services most of the days. The only 2 days that there are not evening services are Friday and Sunday. But Monday we're going to start praying to Saint Nikephoros the leper. He made a promise. There was a vision of him early on in the pandemic to a very pious Greek woman. This was recorded and verified. And he promised, saying, "Don't worry about this pandemic. Don't worry about this coronavirus. Pray to me, and you're going to be fine." And so we're going to start praying to him. And I'm going to believe that he meant also the effect of the coronavirus, which is the vaccine, which is the cure that is worse than the disease. So we're going to pray to him, and I think you should too. I don't think there should be I think that it should look like this tomorrow evening. We should all be here, except that you should all be standing up. And we should pray regularly to Saint Nikephoros and do our prostrations for ourselves and for the world. And then God will help us. God will definitely help us. So this is the confession that you make, that you don't live in a secular way with secular solutions. There are no secular solutions to spiritual problems. And the problem we have is a spiritual problem. It's not a problem of a virus. It's not a problem of a vaccine. It's a problem that is spiritual, where men are fainting. They're losing their faith in God. They're having faith instead in evil things. So there's one more thing. At the very end of the gospel, it says, many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Something that happens to us human beings is that we tend to measure things by how big they are, how important they are, how famous they are, how smart they are. We like superlatives, right? And so if something is a superlative, we tend to trust it more, right? A famous person we might listen to. Why? They're just a Joe, but they're famous, right? And we also should trust our clergy and our hierarchs, except when they act insane. And they're acting insane, some of them. Absolutely insane. So we have to understand that people that look first, they're actually last. That there's going to be mass apostasy. Already there has been clergy that say insane things about the pandemic and about the virus and about taking communion and about requiring people to be vaccinated in order to even come in the church. And those are minor things compared to what's going to come. There will be, as it were, the stars falling from heaven. It's going to happen. So those people that look like they're first will be last. Just recently, I guess it might be a little bit of a political, ecclesiastical commentary. It's amazing. The whole world doesn't care. The Orthodox world doesn't care about this. It's just happened, and it just happens again, and there'll be another one again, and another one again, and people do what they do. But hierarchs, dressed to the nines, perfect vestments, beautiful vestments, they went underneath a gay pride flag in order to celebrate a liturgy in a heterodox building. And the motto of that church, if you can call such a thing a church, this is their motto. Everybody's got mottos now, right? It's all about, you know, how about this? To live as Christ and to die as gain. How about that for a motto, huh? How about love your neighbor? How about love God with all your heart, soul, and mind? No, they don't do those kinds of models because they're not trendy enough. This church, St. Bartholomew's in Manhattan, absolutely, it's just a paradise for anything to do with sodomites. It's all about that. It's all about if there is some strange belief, some strange sexual belief, they're for it. It's just true. And we had hierarchs that literally walked underneath that flag that had been blessed a week before because this is Pride Week or Pride Month, right? I don't understand how people can be happy to label themselves as proud. I don't get it. But, you know, I think they're telling the truth even though they don't want to. Despite themselves, they're telling the truth. Because it's about pride. It's about sin. So they walk underneath the pride flag. They celebrate a liturgy. They say a bunch of dumb, stupid comments that are just have no life to them, no zest to them whatsoever, no gospel to them. If I started to speak this sermon, I guarantee you there would be big, burly people that would take me right out. They wouldn't allow it. I guarantee it. Or the microphone would be shut off or something like that. So their catch, you know, the way they describe themselves, I don't know what you call it, their mission statement, the thing that's probably distributed on their paperwork and everything, they say transforming lives. Okay, that's great. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to transform your life or allow your life, have you open up to God so that your life is transformed. So I'm all for transforming lives, absolutely. We all need to be transformed for sure. And their last one is three things. Transforming the world. All right. Usually when people are talking about that, they're going to get all completely woke and all that stuff, you know, really leftist. But okay, we want to transform the world. I'd like the world to be a better place. I'm with that. But in the middle, they say transforming the church. You can't do that. You can't transform the church. The church is the body of Christ. It doesn't get transformed. It transforms us. And to actually have an idea that one can transform the church and to have the hierarchs that have the audacity to walk into such a place that has such a slogan and to celebrate liturgy and then to compliment them up one side and down the other, such men should be removed from the priesthood. They won't be. Nobody has the guts to say it. Nobody has the guts to do anything. The world is just going down. They're not witnessing to Christ. They're witnessing about Satan is what they're doing. And they are first right now. But they're going to be last if they don't repent. And we must recognize, I don't want you to let go out and, you know, start some campaign to have, you know, Archbishop, whatever his name is, defrocked. That's just going to be a waste of time. You could pray for him, though. Be a good idea. I never get his name right. Elipidoros, I think it is, right? And it's just going to keep going. All that stuff's going to keep going because the world is just addicted to impurity and calling things that are impure good. But we are Christians, so we have to have an idea of how to live. We must be patient. We must be courageous because sometimes when you fight against this stuff, you get in big trouble and you lose a job or other such things. And we must witness by the kind of life we are living internally that we are Christians before men. And if you do those things, then no matter what happens this winter time or the next winter time or in 10 years, you will be ready because your heart will be prepared. You'll have power in your heart, even though you're a weak person. This is how you become a saint. And none of us can ignore that. You can't just say, well, I just kind of, you know, want to be Orthodox and just live my life. You can't do that. The world's not going to let you do that. They're not going to let you live your life. You're going to have to fight to be able to live your life. And I hope that the things that I said make sense to you, that these are the things you must do. Some of you are saying, man, this stuff's too tough for me. It's too tough for everybody. There's nobody can do this stuff without God. Out of weakness, we are made strong. We have to remember this. And there is a cloud of witnesses, and we should ask that cloud for help. And we should recognize that we are part of that cloud of witnesses and not believe that other dark cloud with all of those terrible things in it that is repeated over and over until people believe it. Don't you believe it. You repeat over and over to yourself the scriptures, the lives of the saints, the prayers of the church, prostrations, and then you will know what's true and what is right. And if you are put in a difficult situation or even a terrible situation, out of your weakness, you will be made strong. God bless you and God help you. Amen.